Hello, everyone. This is your host, Cobra Number One, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network, exposing racism, white supremacy for exactly what it is so that you and your loved ones can navigate this nasty, stinking, wretched, disgusting system. The purpose of this podcast is to eliminate all confusion in regards to racism and what it is, so that those who are classified as black are no longer confused. We find this show to be necessary because before a problem can be solved, it has to be identified and understood. And too many black people do not understand racism. Visit us at CobrasInAction.org, a website dedicated to countering racism and replacing it with justice. Also, visit us at PeopleOfTheSunPublishing.com, and please purchase our first publication, Racism is White Supremacy, the pocket guide to counter racism. Please like us on Facebook and follow us on Twitter, YouTube, Instagram, and SoundCloud. We're always publishing content to all of our social media sites, so please follow. This is our sixth podcast in the series titled Understanding Racism, White Supremacy, in which we aim to show how racism is present 24 hours, 7 days a week in all non-white people's lives. Today, I will be speaking on television in the system of racism, white supremacy. Black people spend horrific amounts of time watching television programming, emphasis on the programming, and are not getting any constructive value out of doing so. Today, we are going to expose racism in television. Let's take a quick station break, and when we come back, we're going to get into how racism rears its ugly head in the area of human activity known as television programming. You are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. Be back. Before a problem can be solved, it must be identified. And black people's biggest problem is racism. Go to www.cobrasinaction.org and learn all about racism, what it is, and how it works. Let's counter racism today. Show. I'm your host, Cobra Number One, RG Reed, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. Television programming. This is the topic. We're going to talk about television programming, so let's get right into it. Television programming, racism, white supremacy. Let me ask you this. When we come into this world, what are we? More specifically, what are our minds? What are our minds when we come into this world? Our minds are blank canvases. We don't know nothing. We don't know how to do anything. We don't have any perceptions. We have nothing. We are a blank canvas. Now, what we see and what we hear accounts for who we are, for most of who we are anyway. What we see and what we hear accounts mostly for who we are. The mind is a sponge, folks. The mind is a sponge. It absorbs everything and it accounts for who we are. Now, let me ask you this. We're talking about television programming now. Just stay with me. How much is the average television commercial? How much does it cost to produce a television commercial nationally? $342,000 was the average cost for a 30-second spot in 2008 to produce a television commercial nationally. Again, $342,000 for a 30-second spot in 2008. Now, let me ask you this. Spending all that money, what's the whole point? I mean, are people just producing television commercials just to do something? I don't think $342,000 is money spent for no reason at all. There's a reason why people are spending that kind of money. Why is that? What's the point of a commercial? The point of a commercial is to get you to do something. Whatever it is the messenger wants you to do, that's what the commercial is there for. This is essential to understanding television programming. A television program is just an extension of what we call a commercial. The television programming is priming you for the commercials up under its programming. So for instance, you watch Scandal. There are a whole lot of black people that turn on their television sets every week. I don't know what day Scandal comes on. I have no interest in Scandal. It's a disgusting show. But anyway, millions and millions of black people turn on Scandal every single week. The television programming is priming you for the commercials that come during the intermission of Scandal, because the whole point is they're trying to get you to act. They are persuading you to act. So what does this say about television programming and about the human mind? It tells you the aim of television, which is to program, and it tells you something about the mind and how the mind receives messages. Okay, this is very important for my point later on in the show in explaining racism, white supremacy in the area of human activity known as television programming. So now, getting back to commercials, they're trying to get you to do something. Keep that in your mind. That's the whole point. See, so don't be sitting on your couch with your beer or with your soda or your juice, your sugar water, or whatever your choice of drink, thinking that it's a free ride. No, these people are programming your mind. They are wanting you to act in a certain way. There is a cost to watching television. There is a cost to absorbing external stimuli. More on that as we proceed. Television networks. So your commercials are on television networks. Now, let's go over the stats. How many white-owned networks are there? Well, there are well over 100 networks. Hell, probably 250, maybe even 300 networks, major television networks, national television networks. Now, how many black networks are there? Again, so we know nationally there are at least well over 100 plus television networks. How many black networks are there? Well, I saw one article where there were only two black networks in the whole country. Only two. Now, there are 2,100 television stations in this country. Around 2,100 television stations. How many of those stations are owned by black people? I'm checking right now. Over 2,100 television stations in this country, 12 are owned by black people. Only 12. All right. Only 12 television stations are owned by black people. Why is this? Over 2,100 television stations and only 12 are owned by black people. Everyone talks about the so-called black spending power. I did an article on this. There is no black spending power. Black people are poor. We don't make nothing. This whole narrative about black spending power, this again is white people being refined. White people lying, deceiving, doing whatever they can to make sure that the path to maintaining white supremacy contains the least amount of resistance as possible. White people have no interest in you understanding just how messed up your situation really is. There is no black spending power. I told you in one of our previous articles, the top 20 richest white people have more spending power than 40 plus million black people. So this narrative of black spending power, again, this is contributing to white supremacy because it is confusing black people. Now, 12 television stations owned by black people. Black people do not have any money to own a television station. This is why this is. Also, black people do not understand the laws. Most black people do not even understand the Constitution. Why is that? Because most black people are taught, whether it be indirectly in the schools, by not really learning about themselves or learning that they were nothing but slaves, or whether it be on the television and more directly, in which you are shown to be nothing but good for work or providing labor in someone's prison, most black people believe they don't have anything. Let me say it this way. Most black people are not invested in this society, and for good reason. Because in this society, black, really, not just in this society, but throughout the globe, black is negative. Black people can't do great things except show up on somebody's stage somewhere, do some butt dancing, do a little singing, do some jumping, do some running, do some shooting, do some hitting. This is all black people are taught they are good for. So why in the world would a black person take time to understand the laws that govern them? Why would a black person take time to understand the Constitution without any real guidance? Because a black person left to his or her devices, you know, coming from a single parent home, the money is low, everyone's stressed out. There ain't no time to be worried about or to be reading. You see, reading is a leisurely activity. It's a necessary activity. But when you have the issue of putting food on your table, when you have the issue of taking care of someone that's sick because you don't have enough resources to hire those services out, you don't have the leisure time to take maybe a week to really understand, for instance, let's say the Constitution. All right, Black people don't know anything about no television laws, FCC regulations on broadcasting. How do you form partnerships to even create a television network? What's the process to doing this? Do you think most Black people have the time to really concern themselves with these kinds of dreams? How the hell are you gonna be thinking about some stuff like this when you worry about whether or not you're going to be able to keep a roof over your head? This is the system of racism, white supremacy, folks. Black people are marginalized. We have been since we got here. We are a marginalized people in the world, in the entire world. I was going to say just the Western world, but that would not be accurate. Black people are all over this planet, and wherever there are a lot of Black people, we're always marginalized. We are always in the inferior position. This does not have to be the case, but we have a lot of work to do if we are going to overthrow white people and white supremacy. Now, how much does it cost to own a network? Because ultimately, these television programs, these television commercials, they're on television networks. That's the key. All right. So if, as a Black person, if you want to engage in propaganda, if you want to participate in trying to get your people to act in a more constructive manner, if you want to program them in a positive direction, what's the cost for starting your own television network? Well, look at my notes here. The OWN network, Oprah Winfrey's network, she has a partnership with Discovery, with the Discovery Channel. They debuted like in 2011, 2012. In its first year, this network lost $330 million. Now, this network, at least then, was not even one of the major networks. It was a starter network. A startup network lost $330 million. Now, how many Black people do you know with $330 million? Sure, you have some. These are your propped up Blacks. Most of them are in entertainment. Okay, these people are propped up. Someone had to sign on the dotted line. Yes, I think this person is talented, but there were gatekeepers. Okay, this person is safe. This person isn't going to undermine the establishment. These are most of your Black people with this kind of money. Now, keep in mind, this network lost $330 million. Most Black people that are rich are not over the $500 million mark. So again, even if we're talking about Black people with hundreds and millions of dollars, you need to be able to have hundreds of millions of dollars to throw away if you're looking to start a network, or at least have exposure to a network of people that have the resources where they can lose hundreds of millions of dollars in starting a network. And my point is that this is not in existence amongst black people in 2016. I went to a website. Let me pull this website up right now. Hold on. Because I want to delve a little deeper into this. One second. Ranker.com. All right. The 29 richest African Americans. Okay. At the top. Now pay very, very close attention to the numbers. At the top, you have Oprah Winfrey, worth $2.8 billion. Okay. This is a black person. She started her own network. The OWN network. All right. Oprah at number one, $2.8 billion. That's the top of the list. Robert F. Smith, $2.5 billion. Michael Jordan, nigger entertainer. By the way, this is not me. I'm not calling him a nigger. I'm a black person. This is how white people view black people. All of them. Niggers. I don't care if a white person has never said nigger in their life. Their behavior and the way they treat you suggests that's how they see you. See, you can have someone like George Zimmerman. They told his ass, stay in the car, go home. He took his ass out of the car, shot that boy. The mere fact that we had a trial. Most white people, when they polled white people about George Zimmerman, they asked, what do you think? Most white, the go-to response from these white refined crackers was that, oh, well, we'll let the law handle it. This is a country of laws, blah, 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 blah. Common sense tells you that a grown man should not be shooting a 16, 17-year-old boy. Especially if that boy is not armed. Especially if the dispatcher told him, stay in the car. We have the situation under control. And especially when we find out that the boy was actually not doing anything nefarious. He was returning from a trip to the store. He belonged in the neighborhood. He was doing nothing wrong. Okay? The mere fact that there was a trial and that white people had all these opinions about the case that amounted to, well, let's just see what the verdict is. Instead of agreeing to the obvious, which is that George Zimmerman effed up. He shouldn't have gotten out the car. He should be held negligible at the very least. White people weren't saying that. The mere fact that they were not saying that, it's not because they don't understand what I'm saying. It's because they look at you as a nigga. You are not human. So what if some of you get shot every now and then? So what? You're not human anyway. You're not valuable anyway. We can take a few losses of black life here and there. It doesn't matter. This is how they're viewing you. They are calling you a nigger without even saying it. So get used to it. This is a foul system. And when you hear that word, if it gets you mad, use all that anger of yours to amp yourself up, to motivate yourself to fight and end racism, white supremacy. But don't go crying, oh, we shouldn't use the N-word. No. We would not be sugarcoating the system in which we're living. It's a foul, stinking, nasty system. It's a system in which you are a nigger. And this is how white people view you. Now, getting back to what I was saying. Michael Jordan, nigga athlete, $650 million. He's paid to jump, slam dunk, shoot, entertain white people. Sean Combs, record producer, produces albums for niggas. Yep, crackers like to sit in their parents' penthouses, playing their music up real loud, listening to black suffering. This is where he's getting his money from. White people wanting to hear black people talk and behave like animals. $620 million. Now keep in mind, the OWN network lost $330 million in its first year. All right, Puffy, $620 million. So the OWN network is how much the OWN network lost, half of that, $620 million. That's Puffy's network. Now, Tiger Woods, another confused black person, nigger in the eyes of white people, and he was definitely treated like one. They dropped him like a bad habit. Yeah, he cheated on that white woman, that white wife of his. She dropped him like a bad habit. His friends, his white cracker friends, dropped him like a bad habit, and he ain't been the same since. This is a confused black person. He needs help. He's worth $590 million. Okay, this is the fifth person. The fifth person, the top 20. This list is the 29 richest African Americans. All right, not even 30. Tiger Woods is at number five. Robert Johnson, Bob Johnson, owner at one point of a television network, BET, $580 million. All right, so we have Oprah and Bob Johnson on here that have owned networks or that own a network right now. Mariah Carey, another entertainer, $510 million. Magic Johnson, in the business community. At first, he did get paid for jumping, running, yelling for white people. $500 million. Jay-Z, someone who pretends that he is a boss. He is not a boss. He is a victim of racism and white supremacy. However, he is paid a lot of trinkets. But keep in mind, he is paid by white people. Okay? He's worth $475 million. But he's not getting this from black people. Black people don't have this kind of money to spend. White people buy Jay-Z. Jay-Z is crossed over. This is what it means to cross over. And at the direction of white people, he has been able to amass this small little fortune, relatively speaking, or when we're talking about white people and their fortunes. Now, $475 million. The OWN network lost $330 million. Is Jay-Z alone? Is he in the position to put himself at financial risk like that and start his own network by himself? No, he's not. And he's not going to do it. Okay. Sheila Johnson. This was the wife of Bob Johnson, owner of BET Network at one time. She's worth $400 million. So together, I don't think they're still married, but if they were, they would be worth around almost $1 billion. And these people actually owned a network. These people actually owned a network. So that being said, they could possibly, if they were to come together, they could possibly do something in 2016. But like I said, I think they're divorced. So I don't think that's going to happen. Now, Jay-Z, Sheila Johnson, Tyler Perry, he has his own television studio. He's worth $400 million. Bill Cosby, $380 million. Again, entertainer. These people are paid to sing, laugh, jump, hopscotch, whatever, for white people. Shaquille O'Neal, another athlete, another racehorse. He's worth $250 million, entertaining for white people. Dr. Dre, who has no doctorate, by the way, but again, this is an individual, victim of racism, white supremacy. Entertains white people. Talks about black tragedy, talks about black struggle for white people. And white people get off on this because white people like to hear about how bad their niggers are doing. Worth $250 million. And I would imagine now this is incorrect because Dr. Dre did the deal with, I forget the guy from Interscope Records. I forget his name. White guy. But he did the deal with him and the Beats headphones and Apple, and now he's worth, like, Apple bought out Dr. Dre's headphones. He should be worth $1 billion now. So Dr. Dre is in the $1 billion category. Is Dr. Dre in any kind of position to form a television network? Financially, yes. Mentally, I don't know. More on that in a moment. Master P, $350 million. Paid to perform, dance, sing, yell for white people. All right, I'll stop right there. Because we have Berry Gordy here, $345 million. Russell Simmons here, more entertainers, $340 million. Beyonce, $300 million. Quentin Primo, this $300 million. All right. So we're getting, once we're under the $500 million mark, what I'm saying is that individually, these people under the $500 million mark are not going to put up their money by themselves to take on the monumental task of starting a television network. Too many resources. All right. If we're going to start up a national television network, too many resources. My next question then, the people that I named mentally, do you think that the people I named mentally are mentally in a state and socially as well? You have to have connections where they are able, if they wanted to start a network and be successful. Let me go with these names one more time. Shaquille O'Neal, Bill Cosby, who actually tried to buy NBC, I believe. Look what happened to him. Tyler Perry, all right? Sheila Johnson, Jay-Z, Magic Johnson, Mariah Carey, Robert Johnson, Tiger Woods, a definite no, Sean Combs, Michael Jordan, Robert F. Smith, and Oprah, who already has seemingly successfully started her network. Okay, out of all the people I named, out of all of them, how many of them do you think have the resources to actually start a network? Now, I'm saying financially, most of them do not. My next question is, how many of these people do you have faith in that will be able to put together a network of individuals they can start a network with? Do you think Sean Combs has a network of friends? Black people, not white people, and I get to that in a moment. Has a network of black friends that he can call on to undertake a big project such as starting a network? I say no, he does not. They wouldn't know the first thing to do. Tiger Woods. Tiger Woods has been X'd out of the white community. He turned his back on one of their own, and he's a disgrace to white people. Just listen to white people talk about him. I don't think any white people will be working with Tiger Woods. So again, does Tiger Woods have any black people? Because we're talking about black people. Does he have any black people that he can call on and say, hey, you know what? We need to counter racism and white supremacy. We need to start our own network, to start our own propaganda campaign to influence people with our skin color to undermine the people that are mistreating them. Do you think Tiger Woods has that? No, he does not. Robert Johnson can start a network. He's done it before, but it will be under the direction of white people. Mariah Carey, no, she does not. She does not have black friends that she can call on and say, hey, we're going to start this network to undermine racism, white supremacy, so we can stop getting our asses kicked. She does not have that. But what she can do, possibly, is she could, Jimmy Iovine, that's the name of the white guy who Dr. Dre teamed with to sell his Beats headphones to Apple. She can, however, like most of the people on this list, can go to some white people and under the direction and under the mentorship of a good white Christian who would guide her, she would be able to start a network. Now, these good white Christians, do you think they're gonna help some nigga start a network to undermine racism, white supremacy? I don't think so. So now, going back to my original topic, what I was talking about, barriers to owning a network. How many black people in a position to own a network? You have some, but what does the ownership look like? Well, the ownership for all of them, including Oprah, the ownership looks like this. Black person, okay, I have all this money. I want to own a television network. I don't know what to do. White person, oh, well, come here. Come over here. Come over here, my black nigger friend, and I'm going to show you. You see, Jay-Z, you just rap. You sit there, and we'll have you perform a rap. But once we get down to business, you let us grown folks talk business, and you listen. And we're going to take, you're going to put some of your pennies with us, and we're going to show you how to have your own network. And we're going to put your name on it. And then you can go back to your community, and you can express to all the other black people in your community of how such a big man you are. But really, you're not really making any of the decisions. We're telling you what to do. We're using your brand. And we're going to join this partnership with you only because you have a name with a certain select group of people in the population. But you have no power. No, you will not be putting on programming to undermine racism, white supremacy. We're going to have to check, approve everything. So you sit there and keep your mouth closed while us grown white folk talk. This is our position, folks. All right. We're talking about television and the system of racism, white supremacy. We're going to take a quick break. And when we come back, we're going to finish up. Be right back. Before a problem can be solved, it must be identified. And black people's biggest problem is racism. Go to www.cobrasinaction.org and learn all about racism, what it is, and how it works. Let's counter racism today. Back to the show. I'm your host, Cobra Number One, RG Reed, and you are listening to The Barbershop here on CobrasInAction.org and the Black Talk Radio Network. We are talking about television and the system of racism, white supremacy. I am trying to explain how racism rears its ugly, disgusting, nasty head in the system of racism, white supremacy. Hopefully, I am doing a good job. Hopefully you are understanding what it is I'm saying. This is the last segment. Let's wrap it up here. Let's talk about the black image. How are black people portrayed in the system of racism, white supremacy? Well, you turn on your television, these are the roles for black people. Black people are sidekicks. We're the yes men, we're the yes women. Yes, 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 my good crackerly Christian friend. Yes, you know, we're there to make them laugh and to crack little jokes, not to really be taken seriously. Sidekicks. We're portrayed as sidekicks. We're also portrayed as down and out. You know, you always have the black person, the black man usually, you know, he's trying to get a job, you know, his woman thinks he's a deadbeat, or, you know, he's always struggling and, you know, there's this narrative of, oh, I need a strong black woman, blah, 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 blah. And they're barely making it. You know, he's in and out of jail. He can never get it right. He's always falling short. He's not adequate enough in a capitalist system, in a system of racism, white supremacy. Good Times comes to mind. I believe Soul Food comes to mind. I think that was the character with Mekhi Phifer. So these are your quote unquote brothers that for whatever reason, they can't get it right. They can't bring in enough money because they're not adequate enough. They don't have no skills. They're in and out of prison. All right. White people will call these kinds of people deadbeats. Crackers will say, oh, he's a deadbeat. Oh, he's a loser. All right. So you're down and out brothers that for whatever reason, they're not skillful enough. They can't take care of themselves. And they're depending heavily on a woman who has to take the load for both of them. Okay. And then you have your clowns. Going back to Good Times. These are your JJ-like characters. Martin Lawrence in the show Martin. You know, Kevin Hart yelling. Jamie Foxx. You know, just if you were to meet these individuals in a real life situation, if you were a person of any self-respect, you would completely look at them and not take them seriously at all. These are people not to be taken seriously. These are people that probably are not engaging in anything great. They are not trying to undermine racism, white supremacy at all. These people are clueless when it comes to racism, white supremacy, and guiding anybody or being any kind of a leader. Hell, even leading themselves in a way that is undermining racism, white supremacy. These are the types of betrayals of black people on television. And last but not least, you have your assimilated Negra. These are the black people that talk very, very proper English. They talk the King's English, and their habits, their behaviors, their desires are all European. All right. These are black people that are non-threatening to crackers. These are your Bill Cosbys on The Cosby Show. Okay. Your Claire Huxtables, whatever the hell is their last name was it Huxtable? Yeah, I think it was Huxtable. I did not watch that show. But Bill Cosby, okay, even now, Blackish. Again, you have a black family. They're assimilated. They are walking on thin ice. They're not trying to upset white people. They're trying to assimilate within their own homes. They will discuss very lightly racism, but they're not saying anything of value. They're just pointing out some of the symptoms of racism, and usually they're talking like in the past. Oh, well, you know, in the 60s we did this, blah, 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 blah. But now things have gotten better. That seems to be the narrative on these kinds of shows when they are talking about and touching on racism. Yeah, well, you know, racism, it was bad in the past. You know, we did a lot of marching, we got our asses whooped, blah, 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 blah. There was nonviolence. There was Dr. King. He was dying. Then all of a sudden, everyone came together and held hands and started singing Kumbaya. And now we're much better in 2016. That seems to be the narrative with these assimilated characters on these, especially on these television shows. Okay. These people are what they would call middle class. Their neighbors are white. And when they're interacting with white people, they are on their best behavior. You see, black people, we tend to get on our best behavior when some white folks, when some crackers are around. You know, we want to talk all proper, and, you know, we don't want to scare them. We don't want to scare our white handlers. You see, because these people are gods. Yes, Jesus is white. Yes, yes, Jesus is white. No, he is not. No, he is not. All right. So I just went over how we're portrayed on television and hell in the movies too. So, you know, we're portrayed as sidekicks, down and out criminals, clowns, or as the assimilated type, people that are non-threatening to white people. Okay. Now, black people. Ultimately, what are we programmed to do? When you're watching Scandal, when you're watching Empire, when you're watching The Cosby's, when you're watching Good Times, when you're watching Blackish, when you're watching Martin, whatever, comedy, drama, you know, it does not matter. How to Get Away with Murder, whatever. The news, black people are programmed to remain inferior. Whew. Black people are programmed to remain inferior. In the 1930s, Hitler comes to power in Germany. 10 years of propaganda in Nazi Germany. You turn on the television or, well, you go to a movie in Nazi Germany. You're seeing movie reels of the Jews with big noses, you know, packed up in ghettos, being portrayed as non-human. This was propaganda. 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10 years of this, what's the result? You have a group of people that says absolutely nothing when they see their fellow citizens being locked up, thrown away, taken to internment camps, where they're ultimately going to be thrown into ovens. And you get little to no resistance by most in the population. Now, this was a Christian nation. See, good little Christians, good little white superior Christians. And yet they sit back for the most part, most of them, and did nothing while their fellow citizens were thrown in ovens, gassed. That's disgusting. I don't call them Germans. I call them white people because they all come from the same place. They're all white. You better start understanding white people and quit fooling around, because you are confusing yourself. These were white people acting like this. Whites fighting amongst themselves, putting people in ovens, coming up with enormous amount, mass production type of ways to just eliminate human beings on a massive level. Who even thinks like this? This is white people, folks. All right. This is white people. When you look at the 80s, again, we're talking about propaganda in the mind. Blacks are programmed to remain inferior. When you look at the 80s, The Cosby's was the television show that programmed black people, like how in Nazi Germany, Germans were programmed to look at Jews as inferior, as animals, as those who are not to be treated and respected like humans. In the 80s, The Cosby's was the show that was used to program blacks into being good little pacified Negroes. You see, you know, you had the turmoil of the 60s and the 70s. You know, you go to the 70s, you have shows like Good Times where, you know, the black family is always struggling. Well, you know, black people are mad during these time periods. See, Good Times was a reflection of that. You had the buffoonery of the character JJ, but that show made no bones about showing just how desperate black people were. And black people still are, by the way. But anyway, in the 80s, you get this softening. You get this softening of black people. What happened? A big part of that, I say, was the Cosby Show. Now, you know, you have the middle class black. You had this narrative on the middle class black. There were no narratives on middle class blacks in the 70s. But in the 80s, you get this talk of the middle class black, coinciding right along, how conveniently, with the Cosby Show and the success of the Cosby Show. You also get this idea about college being the panacea for all of Black people's problems. We should not have stopped going to trade schools. Black people do not know how to do anything now. We can't fix nothing. We're not fixing elevators. We're not creating nothing. Black person, however, is good for going into someone's office, sitting down, taking phone calls. Yes, master. No, master. Oh, thank you for my little paycheck. Yes, master. No, master. Oh, thank you for my little paycheck. And it continues on and on. And also, we're also on those occasions where there are parties, office parties. We're good for calling up the restaurants, filling out the orders for our white superiors, making sure the food gets there hot, being the MCs. We're good at parties. We're good at entertaining these crackers. We're good at serving these crackers in these offices, in these white offices all across the country. Black people acting like high-priced maids. Yeah, you see Black people, you see niggers in business suits. You see them, they look all important. They go back to their own communities, to Black communities, and yeah, they're the big man and they're the big woman on campus. But when they get their asses on that plantation, they know their role. Sit down, shut up, take notes at the meeting, don't say nothing, and you'll get your little paycheck next week or in the next 2 weeks, however you're paid. All right? Black people are in support roles in offices across this country, and it's because of how we're valued. Now, Black people, to get in these roles, they went to college because everyone was told, oh, well, in order to be successful, you have to go to college, get into hundreds of thousands of dollars worth of debt, go to college, and then you leave college, you know, you put yourself on display, and some good white cracker firm will pick you up and put you in their office where you can answer their phones and order their food and show up as to help at their parties, pretending to be one of them and to be part of their business world. Pretending to be part of their corporate world. Yes. The Cosby Show started this. Cosby was very big on college. He always repped the school he went to. This was a way of communicating to Black people. Oh, in order to be like this, in order to seem respectable, you have to go to college. You have to spend a fortune on school. And a lot of Black people fell for this. And they're still falling for it. Even as we're seeing the employment rate of college grads continuously drop. All right. Now, the white image compared to the Black image on television. You turn on your television. Do this exercise. Turn on your television. Turn on your flat, high def television that you use your credit card to pay for because you don't have money of your own to pay for it. You're putting yourself into debt, buying more trinkets from white people. But anyway, turn it on. Turn on your little trinket that tells you that you're successful, your high def television, and just turn the channels. You see white, nigga getting locked up. White, nigga jumping, slam dunking some goal for white people. You see white. Then some Black child being tossed around, thrown down, slammed down on the concrete by some white person, by some white racist cop. You see, white. Oh, more news coverage of some nigga that was desperate, that needed some money, robbing a bank somewhere, getting slammed down on the concrete, on the pavement, like on Cops, because he or she didn't have enough money to feed their kids or pay their rent or whatever. White. Oh, there's another black person catching some ball. Running for the touchdown. Hitting a home run. Performing. On display for white people. White. And by the way, all of this white you're seeing, they're always painting themselves in positive images. They are in positions of superiority. They are controlling everything. They are the people that have their stuff together. Black people, you see us being smacked around, punched in the mouth, dancing, butt dancing, performing for a whole lot of white people, jumping, slam dunking, hooping, singing, rapping, crying, yelling, getting hemmed up, handcuffs, jail bars. These are the images you see of black people. Okay, white people, they're running the world. They're telling the news. They're investing in the markets. All right, they have the stable relationships. Black people can't keep relationships together for nothing. Black people are confused. You have so many black men that on television, they behave like they're women. They are confused. Black people are confused. Such is how the image of black people are compared to white people. Okay, so this is all propaganda. Why is propaganda used to program blacks? Because black people are seeing all these images and they're saying, oh my God, this is how I'm supposed to act. This is normal. White people on top is normal. Well, that's the way it is. This is what a black person is going to conclude about their position in life, whether they know it or not. Now, my question, why is propaganda used to program blacks? White people do everything to maintain white supremacy. They have to be in charge. This is what you have to understand. Programming is a means to that end. And it's a very good meme. Why is that? Because programming offers, it provides white people the least amount of resistance to maintaining white supremacy. You see, white people don't have to physically beat your ass into making you understand that they are superior and that they're supposed to be superior. No, they can just feed you messages. And you, as a confused black person, do not understand that they are programming you into being exactly how they want you to be, which is passive, confused, not questioning anything, stupid and dumb. Dumb and stupid. And it doesn't cost white people anything at all. No blood, nothing. Just maybe a little time. And that's about it. Oh, and some money, which obviously they have enough of. Cost them nothing. Why do they want to maintain white supremacy? White people come from the caves and hills of Europe. Nothing wrong with living in a cave. Nothing wrong with living in hills. However, how does thousands and thousands and thousands of years of a certain way of living influence the behavior, the general behavior of a people? I'm saying this, white people, look at their behavior. They had been very nasty to black people, to people with black skin. However, they have been very nasty amongst themselves. These people are a very hierarchical people. To me, that is representative of where they come from. They come from a history in which resources were extremely rare for a long, long amount of time. See, this probably explains why they are so comfortable with mistreating people and with being afraid of everybody. White people are afraid of everybody. This is why they act the way they do. They do it out of fear. Because white people, for long periods of time, they went without having anything. They were always struggling. They were always cold, not having enough, having to fend each other off from eating each other. This was for thousands and thousands of years. These people lived in the Ice Age, where the Ice Age was happening. Very brutal conditions, very brutal. And obviously these people weren't holding hands and singing Kumbaya and enjoying the sun. These people were struggling to survive. And these people were very cruel to each other, which continues to this day. This is a very, very cruel world, a world in which white people control everything. This is reflective of their experience, in my estimation. Their worldview is what? They have a worldview of being afraid of anything that isn't white. They are the minority on the planet, as Dr. Frances Cress Wilson pointed out so many times. It was central to her whole analysis of white people and our problem, racism. These people are the minority on the planet. Their worldview is one of violence. Their worldview is one of scarcity. They don't share. They come from a place where there was no sharing going on, so they don't share now. And they have chosen to separate themselves from everyone else. They're white. You're not white. You're not one of them. And for all the concerns they have amongst themselves, which has resulted in fighting amongst themselves for years and years, their biggest concern is with people they perceive that is not them, that is not part of them, taking control and being in control. This is where white supremacy comes from. These people are fearful. They don't trust anybody but themselves. They have to control everything. I imagine it's probably due to their history and the trauma they themselves suffered in the caves and hills of Europe. All right? You better start learning about white people, and you better understand white people real fast. Or you, as a non-white person, will continue to get your ass whooped and routed by these people. Let's end white supremacy and let's end it now. I hope you all enjoyed the show and found it constructive. Please visit cobrasinaction.org and peopleofthesunpublishing.com. And please purchase our first publication, Racism is White Supremacy. Also, like us on Facebook, follow us on Twitter, YouTube, SoundCloud, and Instagram. Just go to the social media section at the bottom of our website on cobrasinaction.org and click away, folks. Last but not least, please donate. This is a very time-intensive, financial-intensive endeavor, but articulating racism so that we can counter it is the most important thing any of us can do, so please support this effort. Remember, catch the show every Wednesday and Thursday from 5 to 6 p.m. here on the Black Talk Radio Network, And archives of the show are available on www.cobrasinaction.org. This is RG Reed signing off. Until next time, peace.